Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Whatever that sound is,
it's trash.
We are trash. That's my brother Christopher. Hello, Christopher.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2019. Yes. It's January, what is it, 15th?
16th.
Episode 101. That's Christopher. Hi, Christopher.
This.
Oh, that's Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. We have to tell, before we go any further, we got to nail this down. Are we going to title our episodes? I was thinking we could go 101 because, you know, we spell out all the words.
Yes.
That's a thing we do. We
sure.
Go 101, or we can go 101. What do we think? What's the consensus in terms of how we're going to label these episodes?
Yes. I mean, 101 is kind of. I like 101.
Like 101, so actually.
And like, it'll be, like, from then on, it'll be, like, 102, and then it'll be, like, 112.
Okay.
Shit like that, you know.
So, how am I gonna, O-N-E,
yeah.
One word.
Yeah.
O-H, one word. O-N-E.
Yeah.
101?
101.
Do I have a consensus on that?
O-H? I guess so.
Oh.
101? Yeah.
I like that. That could work.
101. I like that better than 101.
Like 101?
O-O-O-1 sounds a little weird.
I like 101. Yes.
Yeah. 101. I like
and then
it.
112.
Yeah.
1111012.
Well, I figure as soon as we get to like the bigger numbers, I would say like 112. 120.
I think we go 121.
No. I think we keep the
weirdness.
Formulation weirdness. Yes.
You want the weird numbers? Okay. We're going weird numbers because
so we're
brothers.
102, 103, 104. Yes. And then when we get to 110 for
yes.
110.
Wow.
And then 111.
It's very binary what we're doing. It's very
it
like
little,
list out all
it's
the
actually the opposite of binary, but
great.
That's okay.
Great.
right.
We're brothers, we're geeks. We talk about geeky things. We talk about the numbering of our episodes. Welcome to the show.
That was a riveting intro. Episode 101.
101. Hello, brothers. It's January 2019. How's everybody doing?
In the new year.
New year.
Have you written 2018 on anything yet?
I haven't. But I also haven't like done a lot of paperwork or any filled out anything.
This is a sign of the changing times we're in right now because it is always I do this always in the first check that I write.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And I write so few checks these days that we are 16 days into the new year and I have yet to write a check.
Yeah.
And B, I have not made the mistake. I've only had to write 2019, like, write 2019, like, three times.
Yeah, totally.
In the last 16 days.
I'm sure once I get, like,
right every time.
I'm sure once I get, like, my first job of the new year, like, filling out paperwork, I might, like, have, like, a moment to think about it. Because I honestly think I haven't written it out. You know, 2019.
I always screw up that first check, but I write so few checks. But, I probably write
yeah,
one check.
I pay all my stuff online now. I pay my power bill online. We pay our rent online. Like, you don't need to have checks in the modern times.
I don't even own checks anymore.
Yeah. Seriously? Yeah. I don't own checks either. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't own checks.
You can pay every.
Right.
I mean, modern era, dude. Go paperless. That's the way to do it.
Reduce paper usage and reduce single use plastic.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome to the Recycling Podcast, where we talk about all recycling all day.
We kind of touched on it in our last episode, and I don't know if you guys have thought about it a little more. It's resolution time, and I kind of hate resolutions. Have any geeky resolutions for the year?
Ooh, geeky resolutions.
I like that. Like,
things you're going to try to – I mean, mine's slightly geeky.
Go for it.
I'm going to write more.
That's a good one.
And I've kind of
Have you written anything of date? What is it? Is it geek related?
It's short fiction. None of it is. I have three pieces of fiction going right now. Mm-hmm. I have two short stories, kind of that are semi autobiographical that I'm working on, and then I have a piece of fantasy fiction that I'm working on as well.
I mean, so. I have a very similar resolution, is just to write more, draw more, and continue my overall, like, being healthy. I've been pretty, like, healthy for the past couple years, and just, I've been trying to, like, commit to running when I'm, because it's kind of like the film off season right now up here, so I've been, like, committed to, like, working out more, getting stronger, losing more weight. And continuing, you know, to eat healthy and take care of myself, and those are pretty much, I mean, those are the resolutions. I'm doing air quotes, but it's sort of like,
resolutions are for suckers.
It's just part of
your life.
Better. That's overall what I'm thinking about. So
that's good.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
Geeky resolutions for you, Chris?
Yeah, you got geeky resolutions, Chris?
No resolution. However, with the coming of the new year, I have committed myself to making more progress on the novel that I've started.
Oh, nice. We're all trying to write more. This is great.
Yep.
Well, we're all creative.
It's
not
true.
A resolution, but I'm pledging to write more for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good idea. I really, you know what I miss? I miss writing movie reviews, because I watch a lot of movies, and I enjoy writing them, you know, and sometimes, sometimes, like, you can really get deep. I would really get some deep cuts about, because I've seen so many movies, and I've studied movies for years now, that, like, I feel like I have not slapping myself on the back or anything, but I have, like, a unique perspective, and I should be writing that perspective down more.
So I think I'm just thinking out loud here, but I think what would be interesting for the site is we should have a written exchange about a movie. Something you, Patrick, or Andrew does a prompt related to a movie, and then what we put up on the website is our dialogue, written dialogue back and forth, which will give us some time to sort of articulate, be more articulate, write down our thoughts as it relates to, it's like a email exchange back and forth, text, whatever.
Okay.
But we should commit to doing that on a regular basis. And putting that up on the site, and then
I
think that'd be interesting and valuable, because we're going to disagree a lot.
The podcast is all about, like, us, you know, come, like, having the discussion about it. But sometimes, like, we're not expecting they're
more infrequent, and so what it can do is they can be on the topic of the day.
Sure.
It can be on a movie we all just went to see, but we're not podcasting for a couple weeks, you know, stuff like that. So in my mind, I think we should do that, put that, tweet that out.
Well, it's certainly easier to take 10 or 15 minutes to put some thoughts together and then, you know, send them an email form between the three of us. And then once we kind of have a product that we feel the discussion was worthwhile and is sufficient to post on the website, that can be an ongoing thing that goes on over days, where each of us takes 5 to 10 minutes, gives it some thought, writes something up, and then we post it, and it turns into, you know, 250 words of content.
Yeah, this is a question about the website, Patrick.
Yeah.
Would the website permit that kind of a comment?
Well,
back and
I'd have to take some, like, email or some Google Drive document, you know, that would that I'd have to like transfer to it being a post of some kind. Like I'd
couldn't
have
we
to
have a page.
I'd have to curate it a little bit, you know,
well,
is what I'm
couldn't
saying.
Couldn't we have a page on the website that is an embedded Google Doc that we could just log into the website? The Google Doc would be restricted to us, and then we could go back and forth when somebody and we get notification when somebody's posted something.
Well,
one of us.
I'd have to research that a little bit.
Look
so
into
that's,
that.
Okay.
I think
all right.
Would be
more all right.
Organic. And yeah. More interesting is, sure. Is that it's not. It, I mean, we would take the time to edit and sort of
you
formulate
know,
our thoughts, but it could be a living Google Doc.
So,
on
the so,
website.
So maybe we table this discussion to you know figuring out more content for the website another time.
Well, anyway,
it's a little
new year, and it's a good time to. Assess,
it is. It so. Is. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. Let's talk about some geeky stuff, though. Like, I Forefront.
That like that whole conversation wasn't geeky.
Sure,
that
sure.
Is geeky is
no,
inside baseball.
Like, inside baseball. Exactly. Let's talk about outside baseball. I would like to talk about Spider-Man Far From Home trailer got dropped yesterday.
Yeah.
Tom Holland,
we'll
link in the show notes. Jake Gyllenhaal, and Nick Fury. So. It got dropped last. I think we're all fans of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, it's a solid film. It's very
it's solid.
Entertaining.
We all like what Marvel is doing with the Spider-Man verse. They're adding it to their own stuff, and
Aunt
I was
May is smoking hot.
Oh my gosh,
who's Thank smoking you. Hot? Oh yeah,
Aunt May, Marissa Tomei.
I love
Aunt
that.
May,
I love that they're just
charts.
Like they're just like doing that. Everybody just is attracted to his
they're,
aunt.
They're leaning into it, dude.
They're leaning into it. Yeah.
I mean, because that's the reason. I mean, it's age. It's totally age appropriate. Marissa Tomei is 50 years old. She would be old enough to have
bonkers. To me.
It's bonkers,
Marissa Tomei, man.
A gorgeous woman.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
But she's legit 50 years old, and she's gorgeous.
Mm.
So lean in. To that
so
I'm,
so
I'm
so
totally approve
here's so I have a bunch of questions like who's the villain of this movie because like obviously Jake Gyllenhaal is not
he's
Miss
Gyllenhaal
that's
Gyllenhaal.
He is a he's Mysterio. And
which I have villain questions in the about. Comics.
He's a villain in the comics, but he kind of looks like he's not a villain in this trailer.
That, I second that. First of all, it wasn't an immediately apparent to me. Because I never read any comics involving Mysterio as a character, so mm-hmm, I don't know his mm-hmm. origin. I don't know where he comes from, and I don't really need. We don't need to get into that right now. But the only thing I know about him is from the animated '90s Spider-Man TV show.
Yeah.
And. He has that giant like fishbowl head.
Fishbowl helmet. You see for a second. No, you like when he's fighting the water creature thing, he has a fishbowl helmet.
That leads to my second question.
Yes.
Is he an actual sorcerer or is it like he's like a magician and he uses tech to achieve magical looking things?
Here's what I think is going to, because there's a lot of questions about like you see a lot of like elemental stuff happening and you see him fight
looks similar to what Strange does in
yes
terms of his
right
ability,
he
his
seems
ability.
Like he's doing magic but with like green smoke he's doing green smoke magic
it's more illusion
but yeah, but in the comics sense. He's like he's an illusionist he does like
it's all stage
he confuse yeah he confuse he confuses
technology.
You with like hey, look at this giant creature that you're fighting. There's not really
a
giant creature. It's a hologram or something. Yeah, he's projecting craziness. He's so that's my question is he actually the villain of this movie? And he's like making it look like there's like stuff happening. These villains are attacking and he's the hero that saves the day.
Is that his kind of modus in the comics? Is that what he's?
No,
I mean
he uses
green.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is Norman Osborn?
I think he's
and
a troubled dude who lashes out.
What if this guy is trying to like make himself a hero and make himself like for benefit for like popularity? He's trying to like. What if that's this is my like running theory. I haven't read anything about this. I'm just like thinking this out, where he wants to be a hero, and so he creates these like illusions, and then he stops them so that he gets
that's
popularity.
Syndrome. That's syndrome.
I was just
that's a little bit
thought.
Syndrome, right? Yeah.
I mean, well, there's only like, you know, 10 stories in all of comic books that you can really tell. So,
totally.
I mean, having a villain that want, you know, secretly having the adversary to the
it's
hero.
It's an interesting choice. It's an interesting choice because it is absolutely not one of the iconic Spider-Man villains.
He's not even second tier. He's like third tier.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing is like, the newer stuff they're trying to do, the new heroes. We've already seen Green Goblin. We've already seen Dr. Octopus. We've already seen, like, they don't want to rehash. They don't just, like, want to do the villain that we've already seen. So they're trying to, but the problem is they've done Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus and Vulture, these interesting villains.
The two other iconic Spider-Man villains are Kingpin,
which is probably
the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter is really interesting. Yeah,
that
he would be a good
character. Would have been, I mean, that I think that is a more mature Spider-Man movie. In that, if Tom Holland stays on, that's probably two or three movies down the road, because more mature Spider-Man and Kraven the Hunter is.
He's more morally complex.
Right?
Yeah,
he's a more morally dense character than.
And it would be a badass movie in my mind.
Yeah.
Spider-Man
is
being hunted by that guy. So, I love those comics. By the way, that every time Kraven shows up, it's a great.
Well,
great story.
The villain that we really want is like a good Venom movie, a good Venom like. They should have done, you know, Venom as part of this Infinity Gauntlet stuff. Backtrack. Part of the confusion from this trailer is Spider-Man and Nick Fury are dead right now. Like, we haven't seen them come back, and
it's a timeline problem. This will be before Infinity War happens.
Like, I think this is. I think what they're saying, though, is this is after. This takes place after.
I am certain that there's going to be a time travel element to Infinity War.
And things are going to get reset.
Things are going to get reset somehow. There's going to be
He's clearly still in high school. So when does Infinity War happen after Homecoming?
It's like a year later.
Okay, so there is a gap in there where he's still in school, and they go to Europe on a trip when he's still in high school before Infinity War happens. That's totally possible.
It is totally possible. I agree. I don't think it's going to be that way. I feel like this is an after Infinity War situation.
In Infinity War, he's still in high school. He's on a school trip on a bus. He looks like he's
honestly
a junior.
That is my very favorite part of the Tom Holland Spider-Man that we are seeing. He is an actual teenager.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Tom Holland isn't, because he's like 22 or 23, something like that.
Yeah, but he looks
playing
young.
Playing him as an actual teenager is great.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Totally works.
Well, it's
Toby
believable.
McGuire,
yeah,
not he was just a goofball. Andrew Garfield, for all of how much I love Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man. I mean, he was a 25-year-old. He played him like a 25-year-old, essentially.
Yeah.
And now to have an actual teenage Spider-Man, it's great. I love that is his like challenge.
We're talking a lot about like our theories and weird stuff about it and like the villains and stuff, but this trailer looks awesome. Like, you know, like all the funny
cool
all
to
the
see Spider-Man not in New York to
all
see
the
him.
Funny yeah all the funny beats
That's
are there
the biggest weirdness about it is, that struck me is this frick it's not in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever that's totally like out of his element weird.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun though.
It's an interesting choice.
Definitely.
It looks great. I'm all in, but it's an interesting choice because it's not like, you know,
well, Spider-Man
it's
is
not
so
cookie cutter superhero.
Well, and also Spider-Man is so iconic. The New York of
New
Spider-Man
York.
Is so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think of Spider-Man, you think of the huge canyons that he swings through that are made of skyscrapers. Like, that is him. and putting him in a different location where he's not necessarily swinging through huge canyons of skyscraper buildings, which, I mean, New York has a pretty unique skyline, and then you put him in London, which obviously has skyscrapers and such, but will it have the same look, have the same feel of how we've come to become accustomed to how Spider-Man looks on screen? I don't know. There's a lot of
like interesting, like him in the black suit, you know, doing Nick Fury's bidding, and like I think we're gonna see a lot more of like Spider-Man being a badass ninja acrobat kind of a thing versus like him swinging through the city, because it's like, okay, we've seen him swing through the city in 5 movies, you know.
Yeah,
and so it's like, This is definitely changing it up, and it's a risk, I would say, but like Spider-Man, people forget that like Spider-Man is like a bad motherfucker. Like he is a ninja.
Oh, he dunks on motherfuckers.
He is strong and quick and can go anywhere, and it is like athletic as hell.
Oh, yeah.
His agility is like
top
through
tier.
Top tier through
and
the roof.
Smarter than hell. I mean, he catches buses and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's sort of, I'm interested, and what you're saying is right, because it's not that iconic like swinging through the city kind of stuff, but it's still amazing. Like amazing Spider-Man. So
well, I just think it's a great choice to move him out of New York, and we'll see how it's realized. That's all.
Yeah, it's very cool.
My only fear.
Yeah.
Is that they attempt to become a Mission Impossible movie?
Oh,
with Spider-Man.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I got a hint of that with the different suits.
Ooh, I see that.
Different goggles, and it's just an action movie, and it loses some of that. You know, superhero movies should have a certain superhero quality. Mm-hmm. If it's just an action movie.
Well, it's like Spider-Man.
Just make another Mission Impossible movie, which are badass, by the way. But I don't need another Mission Impossible clone. I just don't.
Sure.
I want Spider-Man to be Spider-Man.
Well, and you know, maybe it's because Marvel is just sort of like steering into the, like what I'm saying is like, yeah, Spider-Man's kind of new to Marvel, but the audience has seen all these other movies, and so that we have to change it up a bit. Maybe that's what they're saying.
I totally get that.
You know, we have to.
Well, I think we can agree that's what made Into the Spider-Verse so good.
Right.
Is they took a well-known, well-worn, and they took a big creative risk, and they gave it such an interesting new look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I need to see that movie again.
Yeah, damn. That movie, like, If you're craving some Spider-Man stuff, just go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because it's freaking great.
I'm definitely going to go see that again.
That's so good, dude. That's such a fun movie.
I've been listening to the soundtrack also again. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The soundtrack is really good.
I think we've kind of beat that to death a little bit. I want to talk about some other news.
Yeah, give it to me, brother.
We'll link the Far From Home teaser
in
the show notes.
Sure will.
Let's talk about, just because, you know, it's still over a year away, because they're still just casting. They haven't even started production yet. The Denis Villeneuve Dune movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We know that they have cast Timothée Chalamet as Paul, which is great. I think he's going to do great. He's a tremendous actor. Rebecca Ferguson as Lady Jessica. Some casting news that came out in the last couple weeks is that Stellan Skarsgård has been cast as the Baron Harkonnen,
which I think is great because he's very creepy and can definitely pull that off.
And he is a very formidable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be such a chore. It's not a chore, but it's going to be such a the image of the David the David Lynch Dune just is so seared in my brain for its how horrific it is, how they realize Baron Harkonnen and how kind of gnarly and awful he is. And then seeing Stellan Skarsgård be kind of,
I mean, are they going full,
he is,
do we know if they're going like full R on this? Are we like, are they going,
I don't know,
are they steering, because they went R for for Blade Runner, right? I mean,
no, Blade Runner 2049 was it was, wasn't it? It was R.
Was it R? Yeah.
Well, we'll look it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Denis Villeneuve, he'll do R-rated stuff. I mean, he does adult.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want them. I feel like this content needs to be adult science fiction, because it shouldn't be dumbed down whatsoever. And if
there's no way in hell it will be.
Yeah. You have to go hard.
Christopher, you're our resident Dune guy. What did you think of Stellan Skarsgård being cast as the Baron Harkonnen?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I forget her name, but the latest news today was that the Reverend Mother was cast, and it's the actor who is the remember the movie Red Sparrow? The main lady who is the trainer in the school.
Oh yeah, she's got a great look.
She is the Reverend Mother.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, and yeah. What are they?
Charlotte
are they,
Rampling. I'm looking it up right now.
What is
great.
What are who? And they cast Dave Bautista as somebody too. The
Beast Raban.
The Beast Raban.
which is a great choice.
He's like the Harkonnen's like nephew or whatever. Like he's the
I want to see who they're going to cast as Fade to kind of as the main kind of physical adversary they put up against Paul.
Yeah, I mean,
that'll be interesting.
It's got to be like a younger guy. I mean, it was Sting in the freaking Lynch one, which is bizarre, but it's sort of like who do you cast, because they're going like which I like that they're doing
the
this
more,
because
the more important casting is Chani.
Chani. Yeah. Who's Chani?
And Stilgar.
Stilgar is a big
Duncan Idaho.
Yeah.
Those and Duncan Idaho, but he's
and they still don't have a Duke.
Duke Leto.
Leto. Yeah, they don't.
They have Jessica. So, but those are the more the Fremen, because the bulk of the book is with the Fremen, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that is the centerpiece of the book, and what should be the centerpiece of the movie.
They're doing two movies, right? They're splitting. Yeah. They're not doing three. They're just one and two. Dune one and two.
The book is. I mean, we know the book is divided into two very clear halves.
Yes.
The first half is when they get to Arrakis, and then everything happens with that. And then the second half is basically Paul trying to get power back. So
him working with the Fremen to like retake.
That's a way oversimplification. Yeah.
Completely, dude.
Totally. Yes, it is. All you can do is oversimplify Dune when you're talking about it, because
it is so deep. It's so complex.
So deep.
So incredible.
And I think Villeneuve is the guy who can pull it off.
I'm just hoping that what we're saying is right, is like they go hard R, they cast like really good people for all these characters that we love. And you know, so far I like their choices. So we'll just
do whatever they can
this
to
is,
expel.
You know what's
shitty
crazy about this is like I feel like we've been talking about Dune since like episode 1. Dune is like our like through line. It's like Star Trek and Dune.
I have another resolution. I'm going to read Dune again.
You're
going to
read? Oh, again? That's awesome. Yeah. Good call. Good call.
Dude, How many times is this now?
I've been reading Dune since I was a preteen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've probably read the Dune book 25 times.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
Literally incredible. That's fantastic. Okay. So other news, movie / show stuff that we're excited about, like they are filming the Deadwood like end movie for HBO, I've heard.
I mean, I'm a big Deadwood fan. I think you guys have watched
it. Yeah.
So season 3 of Deadwood ended in an unresolved way. And whatever reason, the show was canceled. Now, finally, it's been 10 years, I think, since the show was actually canceled. They're in production on a movie that will air on HBO. From my knowledge, the entire cast is back in their original parts. Wow. And the movie is set 10 years after the timeline of the show.
I feel like they need to, like, They should have done this sooner. They should have done this 5 years ago.
Yeah, they might have missed the window.
They
might have missed the window. I mean, I'm going to freaking watch
it. Well, I freaking watch it. Like, absolutely.
David Milch is back, the creator of the original show. He's writing the
movie. You probably admit you're the biggest fan of all of us, but it definitely fell off in season three.
Oh, it did. In terms of the – I mean, they tried some different things.
Season one was easily some of the best – thing I saw on TV.
It was
ever
this very interesting take on this bizarre like time period. The dialogue in that show was like it was like Shakespeare. You were listening to it and you're like, what? They're Shakespeare, but they're saying cocksucker
motherfucker all the time.
Right, Shakespeare with cocksucker and motherfucker just nonstop, and it's just
and the c word, which
actually,
I will not utter.
Shakespeare was kind of vulgar, so
right. He was. Shakespeare wrote for the masses, dude.
He
wrote in the language of the people. And
so. But it's like it's the most bizarre show to watch. When I watched it, I was like, "What are they saying?" Like, their sentence structure was bizarre. Their like how they had conversations was so like interesting and like backhanded
the dialogue is so intricate, and at the same time, it'll be peppered with just disgusting vulgarity.
Yes,
off the charts. Just beyond anything that would be acceptable.
It was that's the thing that stands out for Deadwood for me is like the dialogue was the most interesting thing that was going at that time. That was like television's heyday. That was like the beginning. That was like the Battlestar Galactica. That was the Sopranos era.
That's something we should talk about a little bit. I mean, the HBO, because the Sopranos first season premiered 20 years ago this week. HBO did an entire, like, they reran every season.
Wow.
Like, day-long marathons for, like, between, like, January 7th and, like, January, like, 15th or something like that. And I watched a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
The Sopranos, and I wasn't, like, a huge Sopranos guy. I mean, I liked it because it was just so good. It really is incredible television. Mm-hmm, there is so much going on, and it's so, if you haven't, you got to do some rewatch on The Sopranos because it's great TV. It really is one of the best shows.
Speaking of HBO, they released a trailer for the final season of Game of Thrones. It's like a teaser, I guess, of like Arya and Jon Snow and Sansa. No Bran, which is bizarre, walking down the crypt of Winterfell, and then there's obviously like ghosts or you know the white coming through the hallway towards them and then preparing for battle. It's very like
the world.
It's not literal. It's not literal. It's
I don't think I don't think what we watched
right
in the teaser takes place in the actual story.
Yeah,
no,
it's not footage of an episode.
Oh no, definitely not.
Yeah, it's like a promo. It's like
it's
a stylized promo.
So April 14th.
April 14th is when
the final season of Game of Thrones.
Which, I mean, and like our legendary listener Sean on Twitter said to you, he thinks they're all gonna die. Which I think is not like a bad guess. Like I think that they're kind of like they probably will all die. Like
yeah, and I don't care. I don't mind that they'll all die. Hopefully, they all die in satisfying ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's in keeping with what Martin has been saying all along is that this is not an uplifting tale. So.
Yeah. I just the ultimate resolution needs to be that like the white are defeated. Like who cares who survives from it? Because these guys are all just going to be like legends and heroes in the future. But like,
are we watching the slow boil of the apocalypse happening?
Like, maybe. Like this is how they all die.
Everyone dying. And,
yeah,
you know, Westeros being overrun by the army.
The Night King.
There's a distinct possibility of
the
that.
Night King walks into the throne room and he like sits on the Iron Throne and that's the end. That's the last shot. That's everybody's everybody smoked and that's it's over.
It would be fascinating for me to me if the because he's done so much to flip sort of standard fantasy tropes on it on their head that there are definitely characters we like who seem to be good people, but it would be fascinating for the White Walkers and the King Winter King or whatever his name and the Night King to be the protagonist.
Yeah. He's how the world like
he's
resets.
He's the hero. Or yeah. Not the hero, but he's the humans are so petty and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting about stupid shit rather than mm-hmm. being focused on existential stuff.
That mm-hmm. they all just get
that
murdered.
They deserve to die.
Yeah, because like, well, that
would be great.
That's
if he
part
had
of
a
the
point
the,
of view, but who knows if they'll get into that. Kind
that's
of
the problem. Is
well,
that's why I don't
right.
think that theory holds up. Is because he hasn't been developing that character with a point of view.
Maybe
at all.
Maybe we find
he's
out
just a
that,
force of nature.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
I mean, he is. They say it. Winter
well,
is coming.
There's a
he
lot of there's
the
a lot of
personification of winter.
There's a lot of theories on the internet that the Night King is like. Bran time traveling, you know.
Okay. I know that it is commonplace and very kind of part of geek culture to theorize and look at.
Yeah.
Unless and I've completely soured on the entirety of Star Wars theorizing because
yeah.
of all
right.
the theorizing that went on
well,
after the Force
well,
Awakens.
Well, there's so much
didn't
because
get
of a holes.
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying.
Well, like
well,
it is. It's
the,
because of a-holes.
I'm done the, with. The theorizing of what to expect.
This
what's
is
going to happen.
This
I'm
is
totally done with it.
We live in the time of the internet hive mind. So everybody proposes these theories, and we have to like listen to all these ideas. And some of them are going to be right. Some of them are going to be like they guess
right.
Right.
I mean the R. I mean think about
yeah.
it. The R plus L equals J is totally correct.
Yeah. I
that
mean, we
that was proposed 10 years.
Do
ago,
we? Do we? Right. Somebody
but that wasn't a
right.
guess out of left field. There were absolutely clues in all the books.
Oh, no. There was clues completely, for sure.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at this point, I am done and over of theorizing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love these things.
All right. I'll back away. So, I just.
No,
I just.
Saying, I. We,
it's fun discussion.
We love
that's all.
Game of Thrones. We love Star Wars. We love these things. We can guess and theorize about how. You know, the Marvel universe is going to.
Let me reframe your comment a little bit. I'm not done with theorizing. What I'm done with is the negative reaction to choices that artists make.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm done with is not the lacking the ability to just appreciate great art for what it is. And if you want to make better fucking art, go make it. But shut the fuck up about decisions that artists have made
there is,
that you might disagree right. with and just appreciate for what it does. And that's my thing
well,
I'm
well,
going with.
Well, yeah. you're not wrong, Christopher, because it's so much easier now with everybody having their own like voice box on the internet is you know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a theory. And there's like there's 100,000 people that will agree with your opinion. And you are like it's so much easier to be a critic than it is to be
right.
like an artist
oh,
and take a chance. Like I love those movies that like took a risk, you know, did something different. That's
right.
why I love King Arthur and The Legend of the Sword because it took
totally.
A chance and it didn't work for everybody, but guess what? It freaking worked for me.
It's
so
interesting. Yeah.
It's you know, and that's good. Like I think that art needs like we live in a and that's something about like Netflix is missing right now is it's also middle of the road because they're worried about taking risks and the stuff that stands out is risk taking and different
stuff like Stranger Things
at least season 1 season 2 I felt was kind of middling. I think they should have killed half the kids in season 2 Seriously, they should have taken like they didn't understand the success they had in season one, and I feel like Netflix is so vanilla, you know they need to be doing the extreme shit, they need to be doing the stuff that no one is expecting them to do,
Dude, they want people to keep paying their subscription,
exactly.
subscription fees.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But you are the juggernaut. You should do the middle stuff, but you should be taking doing the extreme. My criticism is the content that they're supporting.
The year you mentioned Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Patrick.
No, go for it. Go for it.
The season 2 of The Dragon Prince.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm, premiering in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed season 1. I mean, it's probably leftover nostalgia from Avatar, but
very much so.
But like, it's fun. It's
I'll
fun.
Watch it. I'm excited about it. It was a good show. It was entertaining.
Yeah. It's definitely a kid's show, but I liked it a lot.
Well, and in terms of not being middle of the road, the creators of that show and Netflix clearly let them have the creative control to make sure that there is more representation in a fantasy story.
Yeah.
Because there is races represented. There's people of different, ability level. I mean, there's deaf people that are, the most badass character of the entire show is a deaf woman.
Well, I mean,
that kind of shit is awesome. So
that's Avatar leftovers. Cause Tonks was my favorite character in Avatar, and she's blind, and she's just like the baddest metal bender, earthbender ever, you know? Yeah. And so like,
that's a choice on behalf.
Totally.
The artists are making the choice to have a character that they will have to figure out how to tell a story with a blind person,
mm-hmm.
and making them a superhero is a good way to make it easier. But Toph being blind is something that's addressed in some way in every single episode. Her, making a joke about it or overcoming a challenge or figuring out a way to use her earthbending to supplement the fact that she can't see.
Right.
That is a choice that they have to tell stories with. So having characters that are like that, they could go an easier way and just have an badass earthbender who's funny and a little girl. But making her blind is something that the representation matters of that, because you have to deal with it in the storytelling.
Totally, totally.
So,
I completely excited about that. Thanks for bringing that up. Did you have other news?
That's a lot of news. I mean, we have. It's kind of the beginning of the year. It's a bit of a doldrum time for movies right now.
Totally.
I mean, I think we said none of us have been to the movies really since Christmas time.
Well,
right?
I haven't been to the theater, but I've been renting a lot of movies lately. And I rented Venom. Finally watched Venom.
I still haven't seen that.
I would say I was pretty disappointed with it.
You were in the minority of people that I know that have seen it.
Dude.
Almost all of them have liked it and thought it was good.
I thought the jokes were so boring, like lame. Like, I don't know what it was, but when I watched this movie, like, it did not work for me at all. I didn't like the character of Eddie Brock. I didn't like the story at all. I didn't like the villain. I did not like how Venom looked. I didn't like it just didn't do it for me at all. Like, nothing about it. Like, the special effects look great. The actual one was okay, I guess. And I like Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it just kind of, it was so meh. I don't know why people liked it. It was so.
I know it got kind of shit on by critics, but people I know, like in my immediate sphere of people that have seen it, liked it and thought it was fun.
Oh man,
I
didn't give two shits about it. Like,
okay,
watching it, it meant nothing. It meant nothing to me. Yeah, there's a lot of, 2019, I'm going to say this right now, is like the year of the geek. Like, we have like all these like geeky movies coming out. We have 3 Marvel movies coming out this year. We have a Star Wars movie coming out this year. We have a lot. So
it's gonna be great.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to the summer, but
we're going
to
get another Wonder Woman movie also. We're going to get Shazam.
Oh yeah, Shazam is this year too. Jeez,
yeah,
it's gonna
be great.
Yeah, I tried to.
What have you since last we talked? What have you been into?
Yeah.
What have I been into? I did a rewatch of Mission Impossible.
Fallout. That's a hell of a movie.
Phenomenal.
That's a really good movie. Jeez.
That's more news we can talk about. Christopher McQuarrie, the guy who did the last Mission Impossible Fallout, and I think one before it, he's signed on for write and direct two more. That was announced a couple days ago.
That's big.
Yeah. So he's going to be employed for the next 5 years. Anyway,
with Tom Cruise. You know,
I mean, in Tom Cruise, by the time they're done making Mission Impossible movies, Tom Cruise is going to be 60 years old.
Yeah.
Isn't he like mid-50s right now?
Well, like the joke on the internet is like he keeps like doing all his own stunts because he wants to die and his like religion won't like allow him to kill himself. But it's like he keeps
doing his own stunts because he thinks he's immortal.
He thinks he's immortal. He's immortal.
He might be
the Scientology has made him immortal. Maybe we all should just switch. Tom Cruise is the new Messiah.
Well, he's ascended to the highest level.
Level of Scientology.
Yeah, he's walked through the Terrigen Mist, and he is now an inhuman.
Is that a thing? Terrigen Mist? What is that?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's part of the Scientology religion.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were quoting from the book of Dianetics over here, buddy.
Please don't sue us, Scientology.
Yes, we appreciate what you do. We express all religions on the show. Please don't sue us. But yeah, cool. Yeah. So, okay, more Tom Cruise.
I watched the holiday special of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It was very entertaining. That show was great. I love it.
I need to give that show a second chance. I watched the first episode and I liked it, but it felt very like high school girl to me.
It gets much much darker and weird.
You know what
I've
watched two things that I want to comment briefly on. I watched The Haunting of Hill House, recommended by our cousin Rachel, on the last episode. Holy shit, is that show good.
Really? I need to see that.
Dude, just watch the first episode.
Okay.
Watch the first episode, and you'll be like, okay, this is kind of good, and then the last 5 minutes, you're like, holy crap. Yes, the last like few minutes are amazing. That show is, talk about risk taking. That's a risk taking show, and the stuff about like all the episodes are directed by one guy, so the tone is like amazing, and it's a through line. You know, it's written and directed by one guy. Really interesting stuff. Like, wow, and creepy as hell. If you like the scary stuff, go for it. And then I've been watching on Hulu, Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch.
Where are you at with your rewatch?
I'm in season 4.
Oh, snap.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, the season 1 is really short, and then I've been just kind of watching a few episodes every day since this, and it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know?
Is it as good as you remember?
Season 3 with the mayor and Faith is probably the best season. That's just so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last year of high school. They're seniors. The writing, they figured out their tone just perfectly. The action is really good in that season. All the stuff with, like, Spike and, like, Angel is still in the all the seasons. It's just, like, yeah. It's season 3 is freaking great. Season 4 when she's in college is pretty funny, but like it's kind of like the whole initiative stuff.
The initiative stuff was I think the worst season.
It's pretty weak. Like I don't like what's his name? The boyfriend, Riley. He's kind of boring. And he's too goody two shoes Iowa for me. But yeah, what were we going to say, Andrew?
I don't remember what I was going to say. I don't think I was going to say anything. Oh, but yeah, no, I haven't watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer used to be like on cable and like syndicated, and I would occasionally catch an episode or two. But I don't think I've done a full rewatch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I haven't full rewatched in years, like probably 10 plus, you know? And so it's really fun to rewatch all these, you know, episodes that I kind of remember. And, I mean, the writing, I mean, when you see like the written and directed by Joss Whedon episodes, you're like, okay, this is a good one. And they are all like, I mean, he's become like a geek icon.
Well, to think that he did Buffy and Angel, he did Firefly, he did Dollhouse, and then
Avengers.
He wrote an X-Men.
Two
Avengers movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's pretty incredible, and his dialogue is fantastic. Like, those episodes are so much, you can tell. It's like they're just so much quicker and sharper, and like they hit you. And they're more fun. Like they're dark, but they're playful. That's what's great about Buffy, is this like dark playfulness.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. So I'm having fun with it, but cool. Yeah. Any games we're playing? Any like video games?
I haven't played much, but I've made the commitment. I'm gonna buy Anthem.
Dude, Anthem, right?
I'm going to give
Anthem a try. Dude, I've been watching videos of Anthem. I'm so ready for that game.
It doesn't come out till February, but I think that's because I've fallen off with my Destiny play. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love that game, but I really haven't played it in over a month. Anthem, I just think I've gotten out of it. I'm going to give something new a try.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Anthem a try.
Dude, Anthem is like Mass Effect and Destiny had sex. And then you go to the Avatar planet. That's what it is.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a try.
That's what I feel like has happened.
Okay.
Also,
I will only commit to trying it if you are all playing it and we play together.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I'm definitely buying it. So.
Okay.
I'm 100% committed because I've been watching videos of that, and you should watch some videos to get excited about it, Chris.
Is that out?
It comes
February, late February.
It comes out late February, but you know they're doing, if you buy it ahead of time, which I think I'm going to do, they're doing a demo where you can play ahead of time.
Are they doing an early access beta?
They're doing an early access. Yeah. In 2 weeks. So
if you pre-order it, you can play the beta for a weekend or something.
Just to like get it going and.
Which really won't be a beta. It's a month before release. It'll be the game. It'll just be a way to...
Them to iron out their servers, really.
It'll be a bug hunt.
Yeah, it's a bug hunt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm probably going to buy it early and play it early because I'm, you know, free time guy right now. So,
I'm playing the shit out of Forza Horizon 2, or 4, I should say. That game is fantastic. I love it. Driving cars. And it's just,
dude, you
really
love that game.
Really
that
well
game
made.
Looks that game looks dope. So
it is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm also playing Dead Cells on Xbox.
Dead Cells?
Have you heard of this game?
No.
Yeah,
just what you've told me about it, Chris.
It is a 2D side-scrolling roguelite that is super hard. That is, but the gameplay is so tight. That I know that I've screwed it up when I die.
Right.
And the villains, the opponents hit hard.
Mm.
And so it is.
What's the genre like?
The
are
grind,
you is it like fantasy or something?
It's a weird setup. But the cycle of the game is that you're brought back to life. You go out into the dungeon. You kill the creatures that are opposing you. While you're adventuring, you find blueprints and also recover these cells from the creatures that you kill. And occasionally you find a blueprint, and you occasionally find random weapon upgrades in the world, which you can then use. But those random upgrades of weapons are not persistent. Like, you don't keep them. Mm. So when you die, you start all over. But if you manage to get through various levels and you get back to the central area with the blueprints that you found, you then can unlock those blueprints so that you have the potential of finding them in the world.
Mm.
And the cells that you gain, you deposit to unlock other upgrades that are persistent upgrades for your character over time. So it's a weird, fun cycle of slowly, incrementally improving your character, but you start off with shitty weapons every time,
mm-hmm.
potentially. Now, sometimes you can unlock where your random starter weapon is a little bit better, but then each run that you do has the potential to progress your character up until your inevitable death. But if you die, you lose everything you're carrying.
Mm-hmm.
So all the cells you're carrying, all the blueprints you're carrying, that shit, in order for it to improve your character, you have to be able to turn in, which motivates you to play carefully, because if you die while you're carrying 20 cells, they are all gone. They do not benefit you at all. It's a really – the gameplay is super tight. It has an interesting look. It's hard, but I'm having fun with it. So.
That's awesome. It's cool. On Xbox?
Yeah.
Cool.
And PC.
I have been playing a little bit of Assassin's Creed Odyssey again. They've patched it a few times and added some more content to the end of the game, so I've just been sort of playing that while I've been...
That game got some love on end-of-year lists that
dude,
I saw.
Dude, that game I really
that
enjoyed.
That game in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. Dude, that game is really fun. I love the story, and I've talked about this on the podcast, is like, I love that era. Like, I love the ancient Greece, you know, and Spartans and Greece and fighting and, like, ships and, you know, all this, like, mythology, and it's really fun. So I've been having fun, like, just poking around at that again, and I enjoy that game. But, yeah. Andrew! Do you have any trivia for us? Uh-oh. Christopher, do you hear me?
I do. I'm here.
Did we lose Andrew?
Looks that way.
Yeah, but I'm back. That's weird.
That's weird.
My, hello?
My computer went to like a hard sleep mode all of a sudden. It's
whoa.
Really weird. Sorry, guys.
Andrew!
Yeah?
Do you have trivia for us?
I do!
Oh, wait. We didn't talk about reading.
We skipped it.
I only bring this up because it's a show on Fox, but have you seen the promos
the
for
Passage.
The show called The Passage?
Yeah.
I recorded the first episode.
I read the book, or I listened to the first book of that trilogy. It's really an interesting take on end of the world vampire stuff. Ooh. And I'm currently listening to the second book in that trilogy, and it's really good.
You like that? It's fun.
I have an Audible credit. I got to download that book and listen to it.
Dude. You should. It's really entertaining.
All right.
It's really good.
Cool. I like that.
I got to record. I got it recorded, and I'm gonna watch it for sure. I mean, Zach Morris is an FBI agent protecting a little girl. I'll give that a shot.
It was better than it had any right to be. I watched the first episode, and it was actually pretty good.
That's cool, man. I like that description. Better than it has any right to be. That's cool.
For being on Fox.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Ugh, Fox.
Fox.
We hate Fox. Andrew.
Yeah.
Trivia, please.
Trivia. I've got... Okay. It's a... So, it's 2019, which... It's basically like living in the future, in my opinion.
Yes.
So here is your question, and it's I'm going to give you several choices.
Okay.
But there are multiple correct answers.
Oh.
Which of these movies is set in 2019?
Oh shit!
Ready?
Yes.
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
Logan. Real Steel, Running Man, and Blade Runner. Which of those movies are set in 2019?
I know that Blade Runner is, because I already read like a geeky article about that. I don't think Logan is. I'm pretty sure. Did you say did you say Logan's Run?
Logan, like the Logan.
No, not Logan. Yeah, that's further.
With yeah.
What was the one before Blade Runner?
Running Man.
Running yes. Man. Yeah, Running Man. I think Running Man takes place.
Running Man is 2019.
That's a good guess too. I feel like that's like it's going to be like 2015 or something stupid like that.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you guys didn't see that coming at all.
All those movies made in like the 70s and 80s thought that like 2019 right. We would be like colonizing outer space.
Yes.
And we'd have killing, robots everywhere.
And killing one another for sport. Yeah.
What was that one movie that was like Death Race? Death Race was supposed to be set Death in like the Death early Race, 2000. 2000. Yeah. Literally 2000?
David Carradine.
Jeez. Yeah, oh my God.
Where they get points for running over civilians.
Yep.
Because you just want to kill people Splat off because that's yeah. I'm gonna say Blade Runner and Running Man.
Okay.
I think those...
I agree.
Give us a list one more time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Running Man.
Yeah.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh.
Ghost in the Shell. Logan and Real Steel.
Is this the original Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, or is this the new one?
The new one.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay. I'm gonna also take a flyer on Ghost in the Shell.
Ooh, Ghost in the Shell. Okay. You might be right. You might. Okay, I'll go with Chris there. Yeah, those three. Those three.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are almost exactly right.
Oh, yes.
Running Man and Blade Runner did take place in 2019. Those are the two of the six
that took
place in 2019. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes took place in 2026.
Ooh, okay.
Ghost in the Shell is set in 2029.
Oh.
Logan is actually set in 2029.
Okay.
And Real Steel, the boxing robots movie,
yeah,
is set in 2020.
2020.
Wow.
Yeah,
we're gonna have boxing robots in a year.
I think we are actually not that far off from that shit. Actually,
right?
I think we could have like semi-intelligent automaton robots that are programmed to fight each other.
Dude, yep. Can I talk to you about something super geeky right now? That's like messed up.
No, not allowed. Off topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these programmers programmed this button where they told that these humans were like they had to hit this button to turn off an AI, which it actually isn't an AI. It's just a voice that was saying, "Please don't turn me off." And people were having like emotional problems turning it off.
So it's a psychological experiment.
Yes. And I thought that was so interesting that like this society is like ready for AI and they were like not ready to turn off
to be self-aware.
Yeah, they weren't ready to like turn off the self-aware artificial intelligence. And like we are so there. I mean, how we've been talking about making AI for years and years and how I mean once we make that first AI that's able to learn and like grow and be self-aware, things are going to change.
There's no going back.
There's no going back.
Yep. It'll be the watershed moment in human life. It's literally like
any time now. Like it could be. Like, you know, we have computers that are computing fast enough.
Well, compute. I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
I don't know how close we really are. I think we are. You think close to?
You think we're further away?
I think we're close to mimicking the complexity.
Mm-hmm.
True mimicry of
like,
complexity.
What's that thing? The Turing test. You don't think that we're like ready for something to take the Turing test? Like,
no, I think that the Turing test is limiting, and I think that. This is like programming to the test.
Right.
I think humans are smart enough and computing power is getting more capable and fast enough in order to defeat the Turing test. That's my point about saying that it will mimic human consciousness.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I don't, I don't think we're anywhere close to achieving like self-aware, conscious software.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All those movies you're talking about are like, they have a lot of like AI elements to them and like artificial, you know, the Ghost in the Shell and like,
I think the human brain is so complex.
Blade Runner. Yeah.
We don't have any idea what creates consciousness. We just have no clue about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're really kind of, you might be right. You might be right. I feel like,
well, that's why so much great science fiction is about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know,
trying to understand something that we've created that is like us forces us to understand ourselves better.
And we're spending all this time talking about a freaking wall. So it's great. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. He will definitely take your emails under advisement. You should email the podcast at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, and hoo-ha. Brothers underscore
are opposed to hoo-ha.
Yeah, come at
Bring
me, bro.
All your hoo-ha.
Bring all your hoo-ha.
Bring it.
Because
we do.
You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek at twitter.com. And, brothersgeek.com for all your podcasting.
Like our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, and our Facebook page, because like, I hate Facebook. But Brothers Geek Podcast at facebook.com.